Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Mark Zuckerberg, the owner of Meta, is just one of a number of ultra-wealthy billionaires who have taken an interest in creating shelters for themselves. And it comes as the industry around doomsday preppers grows. So what are some of the most wealthy individuals constructing ahead of the zombie apocalypse and why? For more on this, we're joined by Adam Maguire from our business desk, who's been having a little bit too much fun researching this in the course of the last few days. When you've got nothing else to spend your money on, I suppose this is what you can turn your attention to. What sort of attention are they giving their doomsday prepping? Yeah,
some of them are giving it a lot of thought and spending a lot of money on it as well, it seems. In his 2022 book, Survival of the Richest, the theorist Douglas Rushkoff tells a story of being invited to a talk of a group of ultra-wealthy stakeholders, and he was meant to talk about the potential impact technology would have in the future. But when he arrived at this top-secret destination, it turned out there wasn't a conference on, they didn't want to give him a talk, and his audience was just five very, very rich men. And they started peppering him with numerous questions that quickly started to hone in on what they actually want to know, which is how best to prepare for a doomsday scenario. So, you know, they were asking him, are we better off going to Alaska or New Zealand? You know, is it climate change or is it biological warfare that's the biggest risk? Should a shelter have its own air supply? And so on. All of these very wealthy people were very worried about what they were referring to as the event, which was kind of an unknown, unnamed future disaster that would upend society. And they wanted to figure out how to protect themselves, their families, and of course, their assets and their money. Now, Rushkoff doesn't tell us who the five men were, but we do have separate stories of some very public examples of billionaires trying to safeguard themselves in a worst case scenario. For example, there's even an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians where Kim and Khloe go bunker shopping. So you can see at that level even that they're thinking about these kinds of things.
But bunker shopping is just entry level some people.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Peter Thiel is perhaps the most interesting example. Yeah, he's the multi-billionaire early investor in PayPal, worth around $17 billion today, a key backer of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. But
shadowy eminence grease behind pretty much everything that seems to be going on.
Yeah, and he clearly is worried, though, that they might not be able to make America great again because he's developed a plan to escape to New Zealand in the event of a major disaster. He got citizenship of the country in 2011, despite only spending 12 days there beforehand. The rules in the country normally require people to essentially be resident for 4 out of 5 consecutive years before they're eligible, but he was fast-tracked. Despite him saying he has no immediate plan to move to the country, but he told them, I will kind of talk you up a bit when I'm at all these big tech conferences, and that was seen to be very valuable by the government of the day. He told Sam Altman, who's the man behind ChatGPT, about his plan to escape on his private jet to New Zealand if there was a major natural disaster or political breakdown. His plan was to retreat to a massive kind of bunker-like complex in a remote part of the South Island, which according to the planning application would cover around 18 acres of land. It would have included accommodation for Thiel, space for guests, management and infrastructure buildings, all embedded in the hills. But it was rejected because of the negative impact it would have had on the landscape. So he still has to build his bunker, but he has his escape route ready.
And what about Mark Zuckerberg? I saw images recently of the super yacht that he has invested in. It's grotesque that anybody would ever feel that this was in any way justified. But what's he doing on land?
Yeah, well, he's in the middle of constructing a large complex in Hawaii, which he's been acquiring land over the course of a decade to piece all of this together, and now it's being built. A 1,400-acre compound of mansions estimated to be costing around $270 million.
Mansions, plural?
Mansions, yeah. Yeah, well, why have one?
Well, if you've got 1,400
acres,
you may
as well build a housing estate of mansions. Within all of that, though, is a huge bunker. Now, Zuckerberg was asked about this, and he claimed it's not a bunker, it's not a doomsday bunker. He said it's just a little shelter, it's just a basement, basically. That kind of skirts over the fact that it's 5,000 square foot. So, you know, about the size of, I don't know, like five or so decent-sized houses.
Yeah, I was going to say, about a small housing estate.
Yeah, yeah. It seems to have blast-resistant doors. There's an escape hatch, its own energy, its own food supply. So, you know, it definitely seems to be a bit more than what you might call a small bunker, not where you're going to just put a pool table and a couple of boxes of papers and stuff like
it's
that.
It's not quite a pantry, really, is it?
A little bit more than
What about Elon Musk?
Yeah, no specific details out there about his bunkers, but you presume, just like all these other billionaires, he has some kind of thing set aside or something in his mind if he needs it. But Musk's plan, though, what he's spoken about is far more ambitious. He's talked for years about the need for humans to be a multi-planetary species so it can escape whatever future disaster that's coming. coming.
This nonsense again.
Yeah, so it's Occupy Mars is the whole thing. And SpaceX is behind that. At the moment, they're going to send an uncrewed ship to the planet next year to see if they can reliably land there. If that's a success, they say they'll send a crewed mission about 4 years after that.
So for a supposedly intelligent man, he's being really rather stupid about this. Because if you're going to occupy Mars, as he says, you need to terraform Mars.
Yeah.
If you figure out how to terraform a planet, would you not terraform this one and undo the damage?
You'd probably be able to do a lot of good work here.
Meaning that you wouldn't need to go to Mars.
Even just on a practical basis, though, you know, if you're talking about sending a ship next year, then a crew 4 or 5 years after that, you know, you're talking about 2032 before humans even land on Mars. And that's assuming everything goes well, which probably it won't. And then you have to start building and terraforming and all that stuff. So it's a long, long way away from being, you know, basically Elon Musk is probably hoping there won't be a doomsday scenario on Earth in the near future. So he has plenty of time to get off the planet.
It's still a big business, all of this, in spite of its illogicality.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because a couple of years ago, not that long ago, you know, doomsday preppers would have been kind of quite fringe, generally depicted as kind of unhinged conspiracy theorists. But now it is big business. This so-called doomsday economy thought to be worth...
Come the COVID pandemic, didn't they all look a little bit wiser?
I think it did. It did kind of sharpen a few minds on that. Now, some of this is still at the entry level. You know, there's a study by FEME in the US estimated that 20 million Americans class themselves as preppers.
What?
In that they'd made specific preparations for disaster. But you know, when you live in a country that has hurricanes, wildfires, floodings, earthquakes, mass shootings, being prepared for disaster probably isn't that unreasonable.
Having a bit of tinned food
and some bottled water is prudent. Yeah, it might just be a bit of dried food, stuff that long shelf life, maybe backup generators, maybe survivalist classes at the kind of more extreme end. But of course, there are many who are genuinely preparing for some kind of societal collapse and, you know, they're spending serious money on that. The New York Times last year visited a compound in West Virginia called Fortitude Ranch, which is a 58-acre site with accommodation, bunkers, food and drink supplies, lots of weaponry to protect the inhabitants as well.
Of course.
And you can pay $2,000 to $20,000 to join the ranch, then $1,000 per person, and that means that in the event of a disaster, you can retreat there, and that is where your fort will be. And they're actually in expansion mode at the moment. They're looking to franchise this concept out. If you move up the ladder, there's some luxury bunkers in South Dakota, about $55,000 to join up there, and then you can move all the way up, and you're in the billionaire class. You don't want to move to Hawaii or New Zealand. You can get a company like Swiss firm Oppidium to custom make your luxury bunker on your own property. Starts out at about $10 million. Up to about $100 million to fit out one of these in your own home.
There is a little bit of an air of futility to all of this, though, because in the event of the collapse of society, the collapse of civilization, one presumably is also talking about the collapse of global financial markets, billionaires are no longer billionaires. They're just people.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to, I mean, for a start, you know, you'd imagine these huge complexes they build will become targets in the event of a breakdown by all the people like us who aren't prepared for all of this.
So who do they get to protect that they're no longer billionaires?
This was the interesting thing. That interaction that Douglas Rushkoff spoke about with those five ultra wealthy men, they were aware of the fact that they needed to have armed guard to protect their bunkers. One had already lined up dozens of Navy SEALs to make their way to the compound once he had given the cue. But they also realised, well, how do we keep them on side? Because my money and my cryptocurrency isn't going to be worth anything. So in order
strikes me at the end of the world, the last group of people that you want to be surrounding yourself with are people who can snap your neck by just clicking their fingers.
Yeah, like the billionaires, some of their solutions were, for example, keeping the food behind combination locks that only they knew the code to as a disincentive for the people to kill them. Others suggested making the guards wear shock collars so that they could be disciplined if they got out of line. Rushkoff,
is this for real? This isn't, we haven't strayed into satire.
Is what Rushkoff says, and he said, well, he suggests, no, what you need to do, rather than focusing on the weapons and the food and all that, is the best approach is to keep them on site is to build a partnership. So build a friendship and a connection with them now, build loyalty, and then they'll be part of your team in the worst case scenario, and everyone will get along just fine. But he said that suggestion was kind of met with a collective eye roll by all these billionaires who, you know, the idea of building a society and loyalty and friendship just kind of wasn't on there.
It's a profitable enough industry, though, obviously. I mean, is it worthwhile if you are super rich thinking about investing in a bunker firm?
Yeah, I do wonder, part of this is maybe kind of part of this kind of fragility in the ultra-rich mindset, because they have so much money to spend on things like this, a huge power and influence, but they're not in control of everything. And I think that's partly why you're seeing they're throwing money at these things to try and control it. Same reason why
So that's actually an... this is an expression of their nervousness about their own position in society.
And I think just the fact that no matter how rich you are, there's only so many things you can insulate yourself from. It's the same reason why lots of billionaires are obsessed with this idea of trying to extend human lifespan and try and build immortality. You know, all this thing about getting blood transfusions from young people, looking at the idea of uploading your consciousness to computers. Of course, cryogenics still knocking around. Peter Thiel is going to use cryogenics when he dies. You know, because they realized, again, no matter how rich you are, you know, that's coming for you. And they're trying to figure out ways of getting around
that. That's kind of reassuring for the rest of us then, that there isn't an event or the event that we don't know about that they do know about.
I don't think so. No, and you mentioned the pandemic. I think that's part of it as well. It kind of made us all realize, well, things can happen and you need to be prepared for that. There's also a kind of a realistic side of this. If you're ultra rich, you need to build in a lot of security and a lot of protections just on a day-to-day basis, because there's lots of threats to you and your family and so on. So, you know, you're already building, you know, high security compounds and, you know, escape rooms and things like that. So this is maybe just an extreme extension of that. And, you know, bear in mind, $270 million is a lot of money. To Mark Zuckerberg, though, it's probably the equivalent of deciding to build a small shed in your garden, you know, for the amount of money he has compared to $270 million on a compound of mansions.
It's all a bit mad, Ted. Adam McGuire, thank you very much.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.